Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this Labor Day weekend and for all that are tuning in live, all that are present. We first of all, Lord, we lift up those that are not with us from our family, that they're on the highways or the airways. We pray that you keep them safe, that they're able to always find enough gas to get there and back. And Lord, bring them all home safely. Let them have a wonderful time on this Labor Day weekend. And Father, for those that are present, we pray in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone listening live or in this chapel, sitting anywhere on the campus hearing this word, if Jesus Christ is not their Lord, Lord, we claim them right now for the kingdom. Lord, by the end of this service, we pray they come to you and are saved in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now we lift up, of course, our mission team as they're going to be departing this week for Mexico. Lord, bless them, be with them in such a mighty way, and to protect them there and back, Lord. And Father, we also pray now for Houston, for Beaumont, which, oh, they're suffering so there. Lord, all the coastal cities in Freeport, Port Aransas, all the way into Louisiana. Father, 13 million displaced people, 500,000 cars submerged in water. Lord, all these people that are there, lonely, oh, Father, displaced, not just confused, little ones, old ones, young ones. Oh, God, we cover the whole situation in the blood of Jesus. And, Lord, we know that you are indeed our refuge. We know that you're our strength and a very present help in time of trouble. So, Lord, be with them. And for this word this morning, may it penetrate all of our hearts in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles as we continue through the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 8 this morning, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And this morning we're going to begin in verse 12, a very familiar scripture. You know it by heart. You've heard it 1,000 times. And I pray that it penetrates our heart afresh, gives us a renewal, if you will. You know, we live in a time right now, the 21st century. In our lifetime, we're living in a time of, we're witnessing a divided nation again like never before. And the only people that I see that are united anywhere in the country, they're down in the Houston area, amen? Man, they have pulled together. They have banded together. They don't care how many Confederate statues, believe me, are being torn down, amen? Come on. They need help. I mean, listen, to be there in those shelters with your little children and the things that are going on, that's a tough road, loved one. So in the midst of all of this suffering, you know, that we're witnessing today here in our own state, that unprecedented, if you will, destruction and the hurt and the sorrow and that deep darkness that's happening, you know what? This is one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 61, 1 and 2. This prayer of David, I pray so often, as you probably do the same. When David cries out and he says this, he says, hear my cry, O God. Amen. Hear us, Lord. He says, attend to my prayer. In other words, Father, let my prayer fill your heart. And then he says, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I look in every direction and I don't know what to do, he says this, David cries, says, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. And we know that that rock is our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that the rock denotes a safety and provision and protection, whatever. And that's exactly what we have today. And let me say something. It said, lead me to the rock, which is higher than I. In order for God to lead us, would you say that we have to follow? Absolutely. You know, God wants to lead us every day, every step of the way. He'll tell us when to turn right, turn left. We can have total assurance just saying, Lord, here we are. Well, you know what? This morning we're going to talk about being led or following the light of the world. Matter of fact, the title of this morning's sermon is The Light Has Come. Now, let me set everything up for you. If you look at verse 20, you'll notice that we're going to begin in verse 12. But I want you to notice, first of all, the location of where Jesus now is sharing all these things and preaching and so forth. It says that Jesus taught these things there in the treasury. Now, the treasury was the place of the outer court area, and there were about, if you walked into that area and the porticos and all of that, you'd see, 13 golden trumpets and so forth. And those were all for the offerings. So people would bring their offerings there, and most of the trumpets were for different offerings. And the place was also called the court of the women. That was as far as the women could go into the temple area unless they were bringing a sacrifice, okay? Or y'all follow me. It was a very, very busy place. The men were there. The women were there. They were giving money and so forth to the treasury, and it was so busy. But remember that this all happened during the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, when they would make, as we talked about last time, they'd make those little booths there in Jerusalem, and they would dwell in them for 7 days. And then the eighth day was the great day of the feast, which began in the evening with the Sabbath. And there they, on that great day, on the Feast of Tabernacles, they did something in the evenings. They would go over into the court of the women, and there, right, were these huge golden, if you will, like giant lamps. And they were filled with, 50, 60 gallons of oil. And the wick was huge, but the wick was made out of the worn out clothes of the priest, okay? And then at night, they would light it up. And it was incredible to see that. Not that I ever have. It was unbelievable. And listen, it symbolized something for the children of Israel. To them, it was a celebration and a time of remembering how God led them when they looked at the lights, the lamps that were burning, led them in the wilderness wanderings. Remember how he did so? A pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud, or literally a lighted cloud, by day. So they were following that. So this was symbolic of all of those things. And so here that it is said in history that whenever they lit up the lamps, that they were so bright. It says that all of the courtyards all over Jerusalem literally was basking in that light. They could see Jesus now in verse 12, with all that information, look what he does. He walks out there and says to them again, meaning the Pharisees and the people that are in the treasury area, the women's courtyard, and he says this, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know that scripture by heart. I know that scripture by heart. You've heard probably 1,000 sermons on that one scripture. This is Jesus's second of the great I Ams, of the seven I Ams that are found only in the Gospel of John. He's speaking to the crowd. He's speaking to the women. He's speaking to everyone is there. And he says something that should blow us away because it blew them away. He used the words, the same words that God used to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 in the burning bush. When God commanded him to go into Egypt and deliver his people, and Moses says, well, Lord, who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am that I am that I am. You tell them that I am sent you. Whenever God said that to Moses, and Jesus says it here, he is saying one thing. He says, when he says, I am, he's saying, I am God. I am the eternal one. I am the self-existent one. I have no beginning. I have no ending. I am uncaused. I am totally independent. I can do anything I want because I am God. Listen, that is a profound word to those people, and it should be to us. Because, loved one, listen to me. Jesus, when he says, I am, he's saying, I am to you, my purchased possessions, my sons, my daughters, the children of God. He's saying, I am whatever you need. There is not one thing that God cannot provide for us. Amen? If you need righteousness, it can only be found in Jesus. You can't find it anyplace else. only in Christ Jesus. Only when you believe in him is his spotless, sinless record imputed over to your account. Amen? Do you need healing? Now listen, Jesus is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the rescue. He is the light of the world. He is our peace, the Bible says. He is our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our shepherd. He is everything we need. And if he doesn't have it, he is Jehovah Jireh. He'll make it for you. Do you understand? He is all that we need. So when Jesus was standing and said, I am the light of the world, he was speaking right to the religious rulers saying, listen, I know you lit those lamps last night. I know the wicks were made out of your garments, and I know why you're celebrating that. But that is a shadow. I am the true reality. Matter of fact, the word light is one of the words that the Hebrews used for Messiah. He is Jesus the Messiah. He is the light of the world. And then what did the Pharisees do? Their eyes were open. Their hearts were open. They fell on their faces and they repented. Is that what it says? What does it say? Then the Pharisees therefore said to Jesus, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Now listen, the law, of course, required two witnesses, but I'm going to ask you a question. Light doesn't need a witness. I do understand. If this room went dark, I mean, just totally blacked out all of a sudden, and then the lights came back on, listen, the lights are on. What is that? I don't need somebody to define that, do you? No, the light of the world needs absolutely no definition. Light is a witness of itself. Man, light tells you where it is. Have you ever been on a plane, you know, like if you're flying, say, from here to Las Vegas? I just did that on purpose. You have to fly across the desert or some area out there where there's nothing, not that I've ever been. And you're flying, and if you're at nighttime, you know, late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and you're flying, not that you're flying, but you're sitting in the seat, you know, and you're looking out the window, and you're going, man, it's dark out there. You're at 35,000 feet. You're living the dream. And there's not a light. And then all of a sudden, you look way off, and you see a tiny little dot. That's light. See, no matter how small are large, light expresses itself immediately, doesn't it? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And they said to Jesus, Jesus answered and said to them in verse 14, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. Now watch what he says to the most religious people in the world. But you don't know. You don't know where I came from and where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. In other words, you're looking at everything by your own human wisdom, with your own human standards, and you depend on what you think you know, and you don't know anything. And yet if I do judge, my judgment's true, for I'm not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It was also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness. There's the other witness. And then they said to Jesus, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Verse 20, these words Jesus spake in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one arrested him, no one laid hands upon him, for his hour had not come. How sad to have the light of the world in your midst. You don't know the God that sent him, which was supposed to be their God. You follow me? And they missed it. They have to wait now to the very second coming when Jesus comes again, when Israel will be saved at that day. Listen, I pray that Jesus Christ is the light of your world, of your home, of your mind, of your heart, of your tongue. I pray that Jesus is indeed your light, because there is only one light in the world. Only one. There's not another light. He is the only light. He is the creator of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the light of the world. When Jesus said, I am the light, he's saying that I am the only. That's so important that we see that. I am the only source of illumination in all of the world. There's no one else. I'm the only source for every person and every generation. There is absolutely no other light. Jesus is saying, Here we are, you're celebrating tabernacles, you've lit those, put to blaze the candles or those big lights at night. And he says, listen, I'm like the pillar of light, the cloud by day, and the that was lit. And the pillar of fire by night that led you through the wilderness. He said, I'm just like that. You know, question, whenever the cloud in Exodus, you know, whenever the children of Israel moved, when the cloud moved, what did the children of Israel do? They moved, but they didn't move until God moved. Amen? Okay. Whenever the cloud rested, what did the children of Israel do? They rested. Listen. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church of the living God. We are the church unashamed. Amen. We are forever triumphant. We have won. I have read the book. You know what I'm saying? The gates of hell will not prevail against us. And here we are right this minute, 21st century Christians, loved one. Now listen, and we are what? We're going sojourning, if you will. We're on a pilgrimage through this world. Jesus, the light of the world, guides his body through the world. Amen? And you know what's so wonderful about that? Is that we are all marching toward a divine destination. We're all marching toward that place where Jesus said, a place prepared. Think about that. Listen, man, we have a place and it's going to be awesome. Amen. It's in heaven. And when you know what's going to happen when we arrive there? If I arrive before you, I'll tell you all about it if you make it. No, listen. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that when we get there, you know what? Of course, the light of the world is with us as we arrive. But the fact is that we walk in and there it is. And you know what? There's no sun. There's no moon. The Bible says there's no need of candle in that heavenly city. There's no need for any light at all. And the reason is that the Lamb is its light. And then it says, comma, and we, that's us, we shall reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? That's what it's all about. Listen, we're following that light. Jesus told us in John 10:27, he said, my sheep, I pray you're his sheep this morning. My sheep do something. They hear his voice. And Jesus said, they follow me. Now, question. You who've been Christians any length of time, I know you know the answer to this. And you that are younger, you really know. Maybe you're just not thinking. But let me ask you a question. How do we follow the light of the world? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me, and gives us the results of following him. How do we follow the light of the world? Well, you know, part of our vision statement at Calvary Chapel, it tells us to do three things, not my idea, not my vision, but God's vision for us. He gives us three commands. The first command is to love God with all of our heart. Amen? Love and your neighbor as yourself. That's called the Great Commandment. And then the Great Commission, to go into all the world. And then the third vision statement for Calvary Chapel, because it's based upon love never fails, is where Jesus in the upper room told us in John 13:34-35, he said in the upper room to his disciples, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, brand new, that ye love one another. That's not the new part. They knew to love one another. Leviticus 19:18 taught that. No, he says, I want you, here's the new part. I want you to love one another, and here's the new part. Just like I love you. Just like I love you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Loving one another to the same degree as Jesus loved us. Amen? And he said, by this, not because we carry a huge King James Bible, nothing wrong with huge King James Bible. Not because we look religious or act religious or speak religious. Jesus said, by loving other people, each other as Jesus loved us, he said, the whole world will know that you're my disciples. How do we follow Jesus? Well, number one, it's a walk of love. But number two, the only true way to follow Jesus is to obey what he said. In Luke 9, 23, what did Jesus tell us? He says, if anyone desires to come after me, if you want to follow me, by here are the conditions, meaning the conditions which are enable us by God's grace and by God's strength, okay, not in our own flesh or anything like that. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, number one, let him deny himself. Boy, isn't that a hard word? You know, I've taught this a million times here. The word deny, of course, in the Greek means to separate from oneself or disown oneself. In other words, it's no longer my will in this life. It's my master's will. Amen? So it's to deny myself, which means I have to change my priorities maybe. You know, because I'm no longer living just for me. I live now for the Son of God who died for me. Amen? So, Lord, I want to do your will. So if you want to follow him, he says you have to deny yourself because self is going to get in the way. You're going to want people to wait on you and be goody-goody to you and all the rest of that stuff. We're supposed to do that, but we're supposed to serve the Lord. He's the one that we look to. If anyone wants to come after me, you want to follow me, you want to travel with me, man, you want the adventure, well, here's what you have to do. Deny yourself. And then he gives a command. He says, take up, something we must do, take up his cross daily and follow him. Man, I say, oh, Lord, listen, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, he says, I'm going to show you this promise here. If you just follow me. You know what? If we don't, as believers, if we don't follow the Lord, you know what's going to happen? We're going to miss out on his purpose for our life, and we're going to miss out on his plan for us, just like Israel missed out. Are you following me? Oh, we don't want that at all. Listen, when you follow the Lord, it is a divine adventure, isn't it? He'll take you places that you don't want to go. And he'll take you places that you never thought you would go. He will take you. Listen, it's a journey. It's a pilgrimage. And he's always using you. You're on that narrow road that leads to life. You know, whenever you follow the Lord, loved one, listen, you may be hated. You may even lose your life for Jesus' sake. Not for your own sake because you're a mean Christian, but for his sake because you act like him. But you know what? When you follow the Lord, the light, in the light, you stay in the light, you are then on the pathway, the road to all victory in life. Even though it may appear that you're not winning, you are winning because you're in the light. Do you understand? You don't want to get out of the light. You want to stay right where the light is. It says, here's the personal promise now. Listen to what Jesus said. I am God. I am the light of this world. I'm the only light. I'm not a light. I am the light. And here's the personal promise that Jesus gave. He who follows me, doesn't matter what nation you're from, doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter if you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're poor, it doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. He said, here's my personal promise to you. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Man, I mean, oh gosh, think of the darkness that we walked in before we knew the Lord and we didn't even know it was darkness. Oh dear God, God is so good. Listen to me now, that personal promise from Jesus. Jesus is the only person in all the universe that knows the true way out of darkness, out of sin. Are you following me? Jesus said in John 12:46, I've come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me, believes, trusts in, relies on, clings to, puts all their weight upon, whoever believes in me, it says, shall not abide in darkness. So see, the end result of not following the light is, boy, you get right into the darkness. Listen, we live in a world that is so drenched in darkness that is unbelievable. And the reason is like it says in 1 John 5:19, we know, Christians, we know we're of God, but the position of the world. The whole world lies in the sway, the arms, the cradle of the wicked one, the world system that is against God. We live in a world, they don't know that they love darkness, and they would never say that they love darkness, but we live in a world that loves darkness, that operates in darkness. They just don't know any better. I mean, listen, why didn't the Pharisees, there Jesus was standing in front of them, miracles, blind eyes opening, all the feeding the thousands. Why didn't they say, they should have known. They should have gone and studied the prophets. The prophets prophesied of those things. But they missed it. You know, they missed the light of the world. He was right there in front of them. And do you know why they missed? Do you know why people miss Jesus today? Why they missed the light of the world? Because just like the Pharisees, they are too comfortable with darkness. Darkness is so natural to them. See, that's why Jesus, as we've already learned, remember in John 3:19, he says, and this is condemnation. He says that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds be exposed or brought out in the open. You see, to love darkness doesn't mean you know that you love it. Unbelievers don't know that. To love darkness literally means that you hate the light. Why? Because light exposes. It reveals. Listen, have you ever walked in like a dark warehouse, no windows? And you know, I did that not too long ago, and there's no light, and you walk in, and you're kind of all trashy and boxes and junk, and you turn on a light. You know what you see? You see things scattering you didn't even know they were in there. Man, you see those little rats running. You know why? They don't like the light. They know that they're going to get killed, you know? Spiders and everything. I had a spider follow me back there before service. I nearly screamed like a little girl. It was by the grace of God that I contained myself. Hallelujah. He was right on my forehead, man. No, you know, when you turn on the light, I mean, you know, in the house, even you go to the bathroom at night or something, you get up and you turn on the light and you go, ah, what is that? There's that spider. Oh. He's been there all night, but he didn't like the light because he knows the light's going to expose him. I went out of the house the other morning. I don't know why I went out, but I went out. Becky said, go out. I just obey. I walked out, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I have a great flashlight. This thing is huge. I mean, Jerry gave it to me. If you're here, Jerry, God bless you for that, man. I mean, I can turn this thing on. It'll go from not really a mile, but it looks like it. I mean, it focuses. It gets great. So I'm out there looking around. Why did Becky send me out here? What am I doing? You know, here I am. And so all of a sudden I said, well, I'll look up. So I'm looking up. I'm looking in the trees. And on my house, I have a chimney in the back. And there's an antenna, TV antenna. Do y'all know what that is? Yeah. A real TV antenna that still operates the old TV. Okay. And so I shine the light up there. Don't really know why. I thought maybe there was an owl or something. And I looked, and you know how the antenna has metal things? Man, in between the metal things was a spider. Yes. I mean, it was huge. And I went, oh my, you know, it's on my house. And man, there it was. And so I'm shining the light right on it, and he's just looking at, I mean, you know, I mean, I didn't see his eyes per se, but he's looking. And then immediately when the light came, you know what he did? He crumbled up and grabbed the little bar. You saw his little finger sticking out. That was it. Why? The light revealed who he was. Listen, that's why things run. That's why people that are in sin, they don't want to get into the light. The light exposes who they are. Listen to me. Jesus is the only. There is no one else. Jesus, the light of the world, is the only deliverance that a man can receive when it comes to darkness. You can't get out of darkness. Do you understand? You're trapped in darkness unless you come to the light of the world and believe in the light of the world. Remember when God saved us, what did he do? 1 Peter 2:9. It says that God, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I've been called. Here I am. I was in the dark going through my life. I didn't know I was in the dark, living, doing dark things. I didn't think they were dark things. And here I am. I'm totally in darkness. Yet I thought I was doing well, doing great. And then God called me. And the moment he called me, I stepped out of darkness, because he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then everything changed. Do you understand? Just like it was for you. Colossians 1:13, it says that he has what? Rescued. He has delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness. And translated, deported us, conveyed us over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We're no longer in darkness. We can never be in there again. We're out of that realm. Amen? We have a whole new realm, and the reason is because we're following the light of the world. We didn't know we were being held captive in darkness, did you? I didn't know that. If somebody had said that to me, they would probably have been punched. You know? Not at all. The prince of darkness. Oh, he's the one who causes that. That mental blindness. He blinds the mind of people so they won't believe the gospel. He tries to stop them. Isn't it amazing that Satan himself, the Bible says, transforms, that word in the Greek means to disguise or masquerade. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He's the angel of darkness, man. But no, he does things to try to create a false light. Oh, this is the way. Yeah, this is what you need to be doing. And he does it to deceive you. He never wants you to be in the true light. He wants you to walk in a false light. You know, the Bible tells us about our previous time before we were born again, Ephesians 5:8. It tells us this, but you were, that's past tense, you were once darkness. Now listen to me right now. You listening live, you're here this morning. I say this tenderly and I say it with love. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord, he died for you, he loves you, he wants you. But the truth of the matter is there's someone else that wants you. His name is the devil or Satan. He blinds, again, the minds. He wants you to live and abide in darkness. If you don't know Christ, whether you believe it, whether you feel it, acknowledge it or not, you are living in darkness, and there is no way to escape except Jesus Christ. That's why it says in Ephesians 5:8, you were once, not anymore, you were once darkness. But now, the Bible says, but now you are light in the Lord, because we're in Christ. It says, walk as children of the light. That means to walk, means it literally means to manifest who you really are to the world that we live in. Amen? That's why, listen, whenever we come to Christ, light gives us, creates a tremendous responsibility on all of our parts. Jesus told, remember there on the Sermon of the Mount, talking to farmers and peasants and people who had no money, he looked at them in Matthew 5:13, what did he say? He said, you are the light of the world. Literally, it would read, you are the only light of the world. He told the most insignificant people at that time who had nothing, you are the light of the world. You're a city upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Jesus said, listen, let your light so shine among men that they see the good deeds that you do. And the purpose of all that is that your Father in heaven may be what? Glorified. That's our responsibility. Jesus said, he who follows me. That word follows, there's five, in the Greek word, that word for follows, the Greek word, if you'll study it out when you get home, if you have the opportunity sometime, look it up. Did you know that word, there's five different meanings about the word follow, which all relate to following Jesus Christ. One of those, when Jesus said, to follow me, that means not only to believe in him, it means if you're going to follow me, you have to obey me, amen? So that's what it means. Look down with me to verse 31. Let's look what it means to follow Jesus here. And then Jesus said to the Jews who believed upon him, Jesus said to those at Calvary Chapel who believed upon him, if you abide, if you're in union with, if you live or dwell in my word, you are my what? You're my pupils. You're my learners indeed. You're my disciples. Abide, continue. That means that you don't stop. Listen, it is a tragedy today. I say this with love, not beating anybody up, but listen to me, loved one. It's a terrible thing to be active in church. say active in church, a church member all of your life, and you never know God's word. That is one of the most dangerous places that a person can ever, ever be in. That's why Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth. This is my life scripture, the scripture that I came to Christ on. You shall know the truth, and the truth, and Jesus is the truth, by the way, shall make you what? Free. Listen, it is only Jesus' truth, only God's truth that you know, plus you obey, that makes and sets you free. That means you have to know God's word. It has to abide in you. It's the power of the living word. That's why the Bible teaches us. You know, it says in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, or the word of God, it is a lamp, and the law is a light. It says in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Listen, if you're walking through this dark world, you have to be able to see where you're going. You cannot see if you're not following the light of the world. There's no other way. We live in that dark world, and there's no other lamp, no other lamp, the lamp, the word of God, to get us out of the darkness, to get us, to keep us out of the darkness, and to lead us in the way that we go. Listen, what you know what I love about God's lamp, the word of God? It never changes. It never goes out. It's still bright and shining and living. Amen? Yeah, we have it right there in front of us. Oh, man, listen. When we have that living in our hearts, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of your words, the words in this book, it said, gives us light. Jesus said, if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness. So that means the only way to stay out of it is to follow the one who will never lead you into it. Christians will lead you into darkness. The lost will lead you into darkness. Jesus Christ will never lead you into darkness. He always leads you away from darkness. And only Jesus knows the way to eternal life. That's a personal promise. Again, look what Jesus says. He says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. Here comes another promise, but have the light of life. In other words, possess the light of life. John 1:4, what is it says? It says, in him, meaning in Christ, in him is life. And he is the light of men. In him is life. Not that Jesus created life. He is life. Does that make sense? He is the source of all life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. No. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. My life and your life is a gift from God. It's a gift. Do you look at your life as a gift? Man, a gift. You know, we're only here for a little while, A to B, life to death. And along that way, there's bumps and valleys and good times, hard times. Jesus is always there. He's always there. We are all going to depart this earth, either through the rapture or death. Do you understand? Live. Live and follow the Lord. He's the only one that has life. It says in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son, he doesn't have life. So if you have Jesus, guess what? You have life. That's a promise of God's word. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You're going through the emotions of life, the physical life. You're dead in trespasses and sins. He says, and you know, he says, you live on a world that's passing away, and the only thing you can expect when you pass away would be everlasting death. What a horrible word, everlasting death. In that state, that means eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. There's only two, everlasting life, everlasting death. Look down to verse 21. Watch this now. And Jesus said to them again, these are the religious rulers, I'm going away, you're going to seek me. But you know what? You're going to die. And look how you're going to die, he says. You're going to die in your sins because where I'm going, you can't come. You can't make it to heaven because you don't believe in me, in other words. So Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm leaving. My time now is very brief. Matter of fact, Jesus has about 6 months before he goes to the cross, okay? He says, I'm going home. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to my Father. And because of that, your time is limited. Your opportunity is limited. You better come to me now. Amen? Listen. God gives everyone an opportunity, but not all choose the opportunity to come to the Lord. Verse 22, and so the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, well, where I go, you cannot come. In other words, they thought, you know, that, gosh, I can't go there, because if he kills himself, the Jews believe emphatically that hell was reserved for that. And he said to them, you know what? You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. That's the opposite of heaven. Amen. I'm not of this world. Therefore, I said to you, here it comes again, you will die in your sin. For if you do not believe that I am God, I am he, you will die in your sin. Boy, there's not another option, Jesus says. You know, salvation is either life or death. It's a matter of life and death. Look at verse 51. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Listen, Jesus is the only light that dispels the darkness of death. You know, I read a story years ago, and I'm probably going to get a lot of it wrong, but not all of it. You guys remember, you know, y'all remember Jim Lovell, you know, the astronaut? Well, in World War II, he was a pilot during the war. He's out over the Pacific. He was coming back from a bombing mission that occurred during the daylight hours, and as he was flying back to the aircraft carrier there in the ocean, okay, all of a sudden, it was night, and there was not any stars. The moon was not out. And as he was going in, everything was cool. There was no problems, except immediately, for some reason, all the instruments, all the lighting on the plane went dark. So he killed the engine and turned it back on, thinking it would reunite and all the lights would come on. And they didn't. He's flying the plane all by himself in the night, and there's not one light anywhere to be seen. He can't see his gauges. You know, you have to keep, you know, the horizon thing, whatever that's called. You have to keep it level, you know, because it shows you if you go to the right. But he can't see it. And he is flying by the seat of his pants. And he knows that he is going to die, because there's no way that he can read his instruments, or he couldn't even radio in to get the coordinates of the aircraft carrier. So as he's flying in the night, he's just looking into the darkness, and all of a sudden, he sees something in the ocean below that is starting to glow, very faintly at first. And what it was, the aircraft carrier was going through a huge algae bed. And as the propellers started hitting the algae, the phosphorus or whatever was in them, the whole ocean behind the ship started glowing. Man, he says, I lowered my plane. I got right in the path of the light, and I was able to follow that light and land that plane in the middle of the night without anything, right on top of that aircraft carrier, saved his life. Why? Why didn't he die? I'll tell you the same reason we're not going to die. Oh, I mean, yes, you know what I mean by that. It's because we're following the light. You see, you have to keep your eyes on the light at all times. That's what saved Jim Lovell. You see, when Jesus said there in verse 51, he said, if you keep my word, you'll never see death. He's not talking about that one day we're not going to put off this junk flesh here and die physically. No, he's talking about you'll never taste death. You'll never see death. I've tasted it for you. He's saying this, the moment that death comes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you're going to be home with me forever and ever and ever. You will never die, he says. Now listen, Jesus just delivered one of the greatest truths to mankind. And right there to the Pharisees, and what was their response in verse 52? Now we know, Jesus, you have a demon. You're demon-possessed. Listen, the light of the world has come. And you know, again, what's so tragic, like I said at the beginning of this service, Israel, the Jews at that time, they missed their Messiah. I mean, they missed him right there in front of them. And they're going to have to wait now until that day of darkness that's coming upon this planet at the end of the great tribulation period. The book of Amos says, in that day, there'll be no brightness upon this earth. In that day, it says at noon, it will be totally dark. There'll not be 1 ounce of light shining on this planet. Matter of fact, Earth will be in total blackout, the Bible teaches us, from the prophets Amos and Isaiah and so forth. And then all of a sudden, there is Israel. They're surrounded and so forth. Just that one little remnant that's left, and all the world, the nations of the world are against them. Not a light anywhere. And then all of a sudden it says that like the lightning flashes from east into the west, the heavens are going to open up, and the sign of the Son of Man, it says in Matthew, is going to appear. I wonder what that sign is. It is the light of the world. Amen. He's coming back. And listen, thank God that when that happens, we come back with him, because we're not going through the tribulation period in Jesus' name. He's taking us out of here now, because we're the church. We're different than Israel. Now, with all that being said, you know, what did the prophets, I know it's nearly time to go. I have about 5 more minutes, maybe 20. Listen carefully. You know, what did Isaiah the prophet tell them? God, what he said in Isaiah 60, verse 1, he says, "Arise and shine," speaking to Jerusalem, speaking to Israel. This is at the end of the tribulation period, by the way, that this scripture will be fulfilled. "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Again, addressed to Jerusalem. "And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." I just shared that with you. "And the deep darkness of the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles," or literally the nations, "shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." Again, that happens after the 7-year tribulation period. Loved one, listen to me. The most religious people always miss it. You have to have a relationship. Amen. And here Jesus is standing. He's loving them. He wants to save them. He doesn't hate anybody. He says, "Oh, listen, I'm the light of the world." And the people that should have seen it, they missed their time. They missed their opportunity. They missed their day of visitation. Loved one, if you don't know Christ, I want you to listen to me. You don't want to miss your day. You don't want to miss your day. The hour of grace doesn't last forever. You know, if you would like, turn quickly, and we're going to end with this, but look at Romans chapter 13 with me. Romans chapter 13. Let's end with this word from Paul the Apostle this morning. Look at Romans 13 beginning in verse 11. Paul writes and he says this, "And do this, knowing the time that now," which means right this minute, "it is high time to" what? "Awake out of sleep." In other words, he's talking to believers here, you know, and to the lost. He says, "Wake up, sleepy Christian. Wake up, person who doesn't know Christ. It's time to wake up." Why? "For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." That word "time" there is speaking to a particular time, a certain season. It's talking about, right here, it's talking about this high time, which it means the hour is so critical, Paul says. It says the hour has struck right now, right this minute, for everyone to wake up. Why? The light has come, and he's coming again. He says, you've got to wake up out of sleep, and look why. Our salvation is near when we first believed. He's speaking of the catching away of the church, the imminent return of the Lord. Listen, we right now, I don't know when Jesus is coming. He may come tonight. He may come tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have to know. I just believe. Jesus said, you'll not know the day or the hour. He's going to come in a day or an hour. You don't even expect him to come. What did Jesus say to do? He says, you better watch and you better be ready. That's what we need to be. We are closer to the catching away of the church than any time in Christian history. Okay? So he says, I want you to wake up out of sleep right now. Why? Well, the night is far spent. It's nearly over with, loved one. The day is at hand. Therefore, here it comes, let us cast off the works of darkness and what? Put on the armor of, there it is, putting on Jesus. Did you know when you put on the armor that you're putting on Jesus, every piece represents our Lord? You're walking in the light now as he is in the light. Listen, this day is nearly over. He says, let's cast off that thing, this robe, remove the works of darkness and put on that armor of light. Now listen to me. Only a believer who renews their mind to the Word of God can cast away darkness and defeat the enemy. There's Do you hear me? You have to know the Word of God, or you can't do it. You're born again, filled with the Spirit, sealed with the Spirit, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I'm loving, if you don't know God's Word, your mind's not renewed, you can't do it. And the only way to truly cast off darkness is simply do what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the only way and the only way out of sin. He's the only way out of darkness. He's the only way to the Father. There is absolutely no other way because Jesus is the light of the world. Listen, you're either this morning, and I pray everybody's saved, but if you're not, listen carefully. You're either in the light or you are in the dark. Don't sleep through God's grace. The hour is so near. You know, the Bible says in Luke 1:7-9 that Jesus came to give light to those who sat in the shadow of darkness and to guide their feet into the way of peace. That's what Jesus wants for everyone. Listen, there's no other way out. There's no other way out. Many years ago, I close, but don't get restless. Many years ago, I had an opportunity that I'd wanted all of my life. And that was to get into the simulator to fly a jet, okay? I mean, I'm talking about the real simulator, the millions, you know. I mean, I'm talking about you get in, you're in there, you know? Do you understand? Over at the Naval Air Station. Man, and so I jumped on that opportunity. I wore my Top Gun outfit and everything. I had my flight jacket, my hat, my sunglasses, like only, you know, pilots wear. I went and bought some wings. I went and bought some wings and everything. And I don't mean hot wings, okay? And so there I am, you know, and so they go over everything with you. You follow me? So I get in, I strap in, and I'm looking in the cockpit, and it's so incredible. You've got the And I'm in there, and so Doug is with me. He says, okay, we're getting ready to take off, but you got to go thrust and got to do this. And so anyway, I take right off like a pro. I'm up there and said, okay, now here's what you do. Here's how you got it. Just see that little thing there in the horizon? Just make sure you keep it level. Just keep it until I tell you to pull up or whatever. So I'm flying. He says, okay, how would you like to go to Los Angeles? And I said, okay. So, man, all of a sudden, you can see it. Do you understand? I'm looking at all this stuff. I mean, I'm flying over the desert. I'm going, and you feel like you're flying. It's a real simulator. This is how they learn. Are you with me? So I fly over LA. Fly over the Coliseum. Doug says, I'm going to type in some coordinates now. You're going to fly out to sea because you have to land on the aircraft carrier. All right, Doug. You know, I mean, you can't go wrong with it's top bill. You've heard of Top Gun, it's top bill. Okay. Man, so here I am, I've got it going. And so, I mean, you're in the middle of the ocean, and you're going, I keep going, now, Doug, where is that aircraft carrier? He said, it will appear. I've typed in the coordinates. You'll see it. You're going to go right to it. I said, are you sure? I see nothing out here but water. He says, calm down, Bill. Of course, you know, I think I'm really flying now. You understand? So I get out there and say, okay, you have to come in for a landing. So I'm going to come in for a landing, man. And, you know, here I come and I'm flying in. And I mean, you know, I'm very confident. You know, well, I am because I feel it. So I'm coming in and all of a sudden I get it there and then I kill everybody. Everybody dies. I was horrible. You know, Thomas is with me. He goes in there. He does that. He doesn't make one mistake. You know why? Because you young people play with those things all the time. What do you call it? Boy, Xbox. That word will never be mentioned from this pulpit again. So I go out to the Naval Air Station after my training, and old Doug says to me, he says, Bill, listen. You know, he says, I want you to watch these F-18 Hornets land, and I'm right there, man. And they land and they practice to, in other words, they come, you know, they circle the place and come in and they land on the asphalt, the tarmac, and that's how they land on aircraft carriers. And so I'm watching all this and I'm right after, got my, you know, the stuff where you can't, you know, you lose your hearing because it's so loud. I mean, I'm watching them come in. I'm having a great time. I'm living my dream, man. And they're coming in. And so I asked, I said, how in the world do they, I said, man, they just hit that asphalt or the tarmac, and then that thing catches them on the rear, that rope with the hook, and they stop. He says, yeah, they only have 18 inches there in the back, Bill. They have to catch, they have to land exactly at the right place. I said, how in the world do they do that? And so he sits and he says, I want you to look at the next one coming in. I want you to look at the cockpit. He says, do you see how small the cockpit window is? I said, yes. He said, it's 18 inches. And I said, but they're coming in with their nose up. How they need to be looking down. He says, oh, no. He says, you see that 18 inches? He said, yes. He said, right in front of them is a bright light. And he said, they have 3 degrees in that window. If they go too far up, they can't see the light. If they go too far down, they can't see the light, and they will die. They only have to, they can't see anything else because they're up. Are you following me? They're up. They don't see the land. They only see one thing. They don't see anything that's surrounding them. They don't even see the aircraft carrier. The only thing they see is the light. And they keep that right in their cockpit window. They keep it right in the center. They don't let it go up. They don't let it go down. And they just go in, and guess what happens? They land. That thing catches them, and they stop. Are you following me? Listen. That is exactly the way it is in our life right now. If you're not keeping your cockpit, here we are. There is the light, loved one. There's 1,000 different things that want to take you away from the light, to lead you over here and lead you over there. Oh, no. Listen, you keep your eyes right on the light, and you will always land safely. Amen. Always land safely. If you don't know Christ as your Lord, I bid you this morning, please don't leave this place. You need to get, if maybe you're not right with God, maybe you're out of the will of God, I don't know, but I know this, Jesus is the only way out of whatever you're going through. If you don't know Christ, I bid you now to come to Him. As we bow our heads and we close our eyes, no one looking around, and every Christian praying, as we close out our service, I want to ask you one question, loved one. Listen to me now. If you're not following the Lord, but if you're out of the will of the Lord, if you're backslidden or whatever it might be, or if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith, not a step of faith down to the altar, but a step of faith by lifting your hand up and just saying, Bill, I need the light of the world. I need Him now. I need to get out of this darkness. I need to escape. I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I need to get back on track. If that's you, just listen, every Christian praying, no one looking around, you lift your hand up to the Lord and put it right back down. That's all you have to do this morning. That's right. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. Just lift your hand high where I can see, put it right back down. And don't come down here at all. You don't have to come. Last call. God bless you. I see that. Anyone else say, Bill, please, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else say, Bill, I just want the Lord to come into my heart. Last call. Those that lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. In church, I want you to help me pray. Pray with me now. Say, Father, Jesus is the light of the world. I want Him to be my light, my Savior, my Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, that Jesus is Lord. You said in your word, if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and truly believe it, you would save me. save me now. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Listen, those who lifted your hands, listen carefully. We're going to close out with a song. There'll be